Okay, so we'll begin on volume 14, October 30th, 1922. Continuing in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus came, plunging me into the immense light of his most holy divine will and told me, "My daughter Louisa, look at the prodigies of the creatures operated in my holy divine will." Okay, so again, this is for us. When you do a holy act, a saintly act, a good act, it is not a prodigy. What the divine will is a prodigy. It's unheard of, unseen before. So he says, look at the prodigies of, well, basically, you, Louisa, operate in my holy divine will. And as you enter into my most holy divine will, think, praise, works, you, Louisa, rises with me, with God. And since I am voice without word, my voice is formed in the reaches of each heart according to its own needs, in many different ways and languages which are in the creatures, in such a way that all I can understand, all can understand me, Jesus. So what's happening is Jesus is voice without words, okay? The prodigy that's happening with these writings is that we are understanding Jesus in a way that he wants to be understood. The saints talked about Jesus in a holy way, a saintly way, a good way, but not in a divine manner. Louisa's job is to explain to us who Jesus is in a divine way. So we are going to see, this is why I love the divine will. I fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary, more in love with the Holy Father, more in love with our Heavenly Father, more in love with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus is explaining to me through Louisa who he is and how great he is and how beautiful he is, how holy he is, and how he wants me to participate in him. Now, when I hear the Pope speak, I really hear the divine will. When I read the breviary, I hear and read the divine will. When I read sacred scripture, I hear and read the divine will. It's I know Jesus is the Word of God, voice without word. Voice is foreign. It reaches each heart according to its own needs in many different ways, languages which are in the hands of, which are in the creatures in such a way that all can understand me. Here is, again, God speaks heavenly, a heavenly language, and we begin to understand God. He's so beautiful, so holy, so perfect, that as we read the divine will, we fall more in love with our God. That's the reason for the divine will. And he said that to Louisa in the three appeals. Since you haven't come after me, Jesus says, I am going to come after you and I'm going to wage a war against you. But it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love, and you will not be able to turn me away. Wow. That shows us about this illumination that's coming. We're going to see God and we will not be able to turn him away. Now, if we've been fighting God all our life, hating God all our life, consecrating ourselves to the demons, it's not going to be pretty. But God is going to win. And he's going to take all those that want him with him. See, again, time is coming to an end. We're going to enter into eternity. If you want to understand the time we're in, that's why Jesus says you must convert now. You can't wait. When the time ends, in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, that's where you are for eternity. That's why perfection is what we're striving for. I don't want to criticize anybody any ever again. I don't want to be angry with anybody ever again. I don't want to be impatient with anybody ever again. I want to live the life of Jesus. I want Jesus to live in me. I do not want to sin ever again. I do not want to go to hell. I want heaven. I want eternity. I want to be with God. I want God to be with me. I want to begin to live heaven now. This is what Jesus has to hear from each and every one of us. I don't want to ever sin again. Not even the shadow of a sin. Okay, most people say, well, I'm pretty good. I don't need to go to a confession. I haven't done anything wrong. And remember, Louisa was in confession for 7 hours with Jesus. And her greatest sin, she says, was wanting to be a nun rather than being in bed. She says, Jesus, I can help you more if I'm a nun working outside than being in this bed. She says that was her greatest sin, yet she spent 7 hours in confession with Jesus. That puts us in a pretty bad light. Again, we are called to perfection. I do not want to have one thought separate from God, one word separate from God, one action separate from God ever again. That's what Jesus is saying. So he says very clearly, I am work without hands, and therefore I am the work of each one. I am step without feet in such a way that wherever I go, I, Jesus, find myself in the act in the same way. The soul, Louisa, by operating in my most holy divine will, becomes the voice without word, work without hands, step without feet, and I, Jesus, feel Louisa flowing in my voice, in my works, in my steps. And I, Jesus, feel Louisa everywhere. And I, Jesus, feel her always together with me. I, Jesus, no longer feel lonely. And since I, Jesus, love the company of Louisa very much, taken by love for Louisa, I, Jesus, divinize Louisa. I, Jesus, enrich Louisa. I, Jesus, give Louisa such graces as to astonish both heaven and earth. So that's where the Vatican is right now. They're astonished. And they're going, what do we do? Like that one man that I met in Washington years and years ago, he says, if this is true, I've got to change everything. I've got to change my whole life. I am a good Catholic, a faithful Catholic, a practicing Catholic, but I've got to do more. I've got to live this life. He was very upset. Because he had everything covered. He went to church. He went to confession. He was raising his family correct. He was doing everything right. He was having difficulties, but God is going to take care of everything. And he listens to this and he goes, this is beyond me. This is beyond. And if this is true, everything's got to change in my life. And that's what happens to the souls and the divine will. Everything changes. God is in charge. And he does things that just really and completely astonish us. He has fun with us. He really does. He just loves to have fun with us. He's always answering our prayers in a way that we just laugh. Lord, you are so great. Never would I have thought that you would answer my prayer in this way. And he's always answering our prayers. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I told you last year about the dirt. 40 tons of dirt I ordered, and it took me all summer to shovel it. And then last year I said, I need more dirt, but I can't shovel it, and I can't afford it. Guy pulls in, he says, do you want some dirt? I said, yeah. 400 tons of dirt. 400 tons of dirt. And they brought the plow and plowed it all out and leveled it all out, and I'm going, you know, God, you really know how to have fun. And that's just dirt. I mean, can you imagine what he's doing with the rest of the prayers? Yeah, I mean, that's our God. He loves to have fun with us. He loves to play. And what he's asking of us to do is, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. You live in my holy divine will, and watch what I'm going to do. So how glorious is this? He wants us to fall more in love with him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wants us to fall in love with the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants this outpouring of the second Pentecost, which Father Gobi talks about. And he's going to do this with the Spirit that he's given to Louisa. You can see this right here. It's going to astonish both heaven and earth what God is doing with Louisa. Volume 15, January 24th, 1923. My daughter Louisa, in my eternal will, you, Louisa, will find all my acts as well as those of my Mama Mary, which envelop all of the acts of creatures. Because the new Adam and the new Eve, I have repaired and redone everything. From the first to the last, which will exist as though within a mantle. And this mantle is as though made of as two, and one of them rose up to heaven in order to give to the Father a divine will, with a divine will, all that creatures owed him, love, adoration, reparation, satisfaction, while the other remained as defense and help of souls. No one else has entered into my divine will to do all that my humanity did. So it's just Jesus and Mary. It's just Jesus and Mary. And we love Jesus and Mary. The fire that's coming is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve. Love is coming to the earth. It's going to consume the world in love. This is what the fire is all about. The devil is terrified of it because he's going to have to go to hell. That's where his fire is. It's the same fire. It depends on where the soul is. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. Then you have the fire from heaven. Jesus said to Louisa, if they fight you, Louisa, they're going to face the fires of heaven. I went, what is the fires of heaven? It's the love of God. And this is what God wants to bring through to us through Louisa, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the love of God coming upon the earth. That's the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says in Volume 17, May 4th, 1925, that the Father wanted the reflection of himself through the Blessed Mother. The Father wanted the reflection of Jesus, Son of God, through Jesus, Son of Mary. The Father wanted the reflection of the Holy Spirit through Louisa, and the soul is linked to Louisa. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to be what God breathed into Louisa. It's a human. Because Adam was a human. He was supposed to breathe this into his children. And he failed. Jesus and Mary come, the new Adam and the new Eve. Now they have a newborn who's the mother of the second generation of the children of light, who's the redemptrix of God's fiat. She is going to, that breath that God breathed into her is going to be breathed into us. Again, I love the saints, but who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus says, you are my newborn? Who is this Louisa Picaretta that says, I am going to give you the book of heaven that will transmute the face of the earth? Who is she? This is what the Vatican is going through. And that's where I would love to be. Somebody says, would you like to be with, you know, watching the election of the Pope? No, I want to be listening to them reading Louisa. That's where I would like to be. What are they saying? What are they doing? And, you know, the funny thing is, they're reading it and going, well, that's it. You know, I mean, what can you say? It's very clear what Jesus is saying about Louisa Picaretta. And they also know that this is going to change the face of the earth. I mean, that's got to be really frightening, because everything that the church is focused on at this point is sanctity, goodness, and holiness. And Jesus is saying to Louisa, I want to astonish both heaven and earth through divine graces given to you, Louisa, as I astonished the world with the divine graces I gave to my mother in bringing about the incarnation. Now I want to bring the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God wants to bring about. Can you imagine? I would just love to hear what they're saying. Okay, let's put that down and think about it tomorrow. Well, let's read it again. I don't know if I want to read it. I mean, it's frightening. You know, this is very, very frightening to those, especially those that are not docile. For those that are docile, it's like you want to dive into this and you want to swim as much as you can in this divine light, as he says, that's astonishing both at heaven and earth. Volume 15, January 24th, 1923. My daughter Louisa, in my eternal will, you, Louisa, will find all my acts as well as those of my mother, which envelop all the acts of creatures. Did I read this? Okay. Where am I? Okay, got it. Thank you. Okay, no one else has entered into my divine will. See, we haven't entered into that. God is offering it to us, but there's no way that we're there. Why? Because we haven't proved to Jesus that this is the life we want. He says, you have to prove this to me. Okay? So again, we keep on saying, I want this, fiat, fiat, fiat. We have to prove it. So finally, we are so filled with peace, joy, and happiness that God goes, Well, of course it's yours. That you've proven this. So Jesus says, okay, no one else entered into my divine will to do all that my humanity did, except for you, Louisa. Okay. My saints have done my holy divine will, but not entered into living in my most holy divine will. To do all that my most holy divine will does, taking all the acts as though in the twinkling of an eye, this is, God has given us a glimpse. This twinkling of an eye is going to come. And at that point, there's no more time. It's going to stop. And that's where you're going to be. I've talked to a couple of priests just a few days ago, and we were talking about purgatory. This one priest says, all I want to do is enter into purgatory. I went, I don't want to even get near that place. I want the highest place in heaven. I want to be so close to our Lord and our Lady, the Holy Trinity, that I could just be a speck on the wall, but right next to Him. I want to be so close. And they're going, all I want is purgatory. I'm going, holy cow. You know, God will give you what you want. And here it is, in a twinkling of an eye, from the first man to the last, becoming actors, spectators, and divinizers. This is what the holy divine will does. By doing my holy divine will, one does not arrive at doing all that my eternal volition contains. Rather, it descends into the creatures as limited as much as the creature can contain of the divine will. Okay, so that's where the saints are. Only one, Louisa, who has entered into my divine will, expands and diffuses himself like a solar light in the eternal flights of my volition, and finding my acts and those of my Mama Mary, he places his own. So again, to be a true child of Jesus, a true child of Mary, is what we want. I don't want to be... See, you have to understand, when you follow the saints, you pray their prayers. You pray the saints' prayers. I know a number of people who love St. Teresa Lisieux. I love her prayers. That's where they stay. I know people who love St. Francis's prayer. I love the perfect joy of Francis, and I love his prayers. That's where you stay. I don't want to pray the prayers of saints. I want to pray Jesus' prayers. I want to pray Mary's prayers. I want to become I want them to see their DNA in me. I want to be a true child of Jesus and Mary. Okay, what does that mean? That means that the round of creation and round of redemption, what he, Jesus, and Mary taught Louisa, has to be mine. The round of redemption and the round of creation has to be mine. Okay, so I have to learn that. I have to put that into practice. Now, I love the saints' prayers. I mean, I have this one friend of mine. He goes through the whole Pietà book every day. Praise it, morning to the evening. Great man. I say, here's the divine will. I don't need it. I'm going to pray the prayers of the saints. This I want St. Gertrude's prayer. I want to save 1,000 souls every time I pray this prayer. Well, read the hours of the Passion. You save a soul for every word. Well, I don't want that. I want St. Gertrude. I don't want that. I want St. Francis. I don't want that. And God says, fine, to that soul. Yet he's calling that soul to a higher reality, a deeper reality. But he can't interfere with their freedom. So that doesn't mean you don't pray the prayers of the saints. But the prayer that Jesus wants us to pray, and he teaches Louisa, is the round of creation and round of redemption. That has to become our life. Because that's the prayer that Adam prayed when he was in the Garden of Eden. That's going to be our prayer for all eternity. So the Lord is asking us to learn it now. Now, you might have beautiful holy prayers, beautiful holy books, wonderful, spectacular truths. But if it's not the divine will, thank you, but no thank you. I want to live this life of Jesus and Mary. I love the saints, but I want Jesus and Mary's life. How do you get it? Through Louisa. So Jesus says, look inside my most holy divine will, and there perhaps the other acts of creatures multiplied within mine, reaching up to the last act, which is to be performed on this earth. Well, look, and you will find none. Okay, again, all the prayers of the saints. Okay, he says, where, you know, are they here? No, they're not in the divine will. See, our job is to live differently. I mean, that's why I bring up St. Joan of Arc. She had to be faithful to her voices. Okay? She had to be faithful to that. And she died for it. Now, what are the voices that we're hearing? Okay? Might be radio, television, newspaper, ABC, CBS, CNN, all those. Those voices have to go. We have to begin to hear Jesus speaking to us through Louisa. Jesus and Mary speaking to us through Louisa. Again, that's going to, our whole life will change. It will never be the same. See, our God wants us to participate in divinity. Not just to be good people, holy people, saintly people. That's volume 1 through volume 10. He wants more. He wants us to possess him. He wants to possess us. I mean, can you imagine when you wake up in the morning, you do your pre-vening act, you get up, you know how you put on your clothes, you pick off your pajamas, put on your clothes, and you go out? God says, no, I want you to put on me. I want to walk in your walking. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to become alive in you. So when you look at somebody, I am looking at that person. When you smile at somebody, I am smiling at that person. See, the Lord wants to become alive. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. And we can't live this abundant life on our own. Or we're no good at it. We're failures. We can't even become saints. God is saying, get out of my way, and you will share in my divinity, and I will live in your living. That's why I know, I mean, I know I can't become a saint, but I know the divine will can reign in me. And I want that more than anything. And God's going to do it. I can't do it. It's impossible for me. But I know, fiat, God, you're going to do it. Let it be done to me as you say. And the more that I let God have his way, the more my human misery disappears. I wish it would happen overnight, but it's slowly but surely, you know. It's to fight. Again, the fight of Joan of Arc. To fight and to slay that which is opposed to God in my thoughts, my words, and deeds. That's what's so pleasing to God. He's gonna do it. So he says, this means that no one has entered. It has been reserved that the doors of my eternal volition would only be open to my little daughter, Louisa. See, these are the doors of the kingdom. She is the key that she's going to give to the Holy Father, and the Holy Father will open these doors. That's why Louisa is going to come through the church. See, Louisa is not going to be separated from the church. So this is why we pray for the next Holy Father, that he be the one to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So as to unify your acts with mine and with those of my Mama Mary, again, it's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. This is what's great. And render all our Jesus, Mary, Louisa acts triple before the Supreme Majesty for the good of all souls, past, present, and future. Now, since I, Jesus, have opened the doors, others, this is us linked to Louisa, may enter, provided that they dispose themselves for such a great good, to prove to Jesus that this is what we want. Okay, so how do you prove this to Jesus? It's by reading. It's by reading the volumes. Now, if you want the volumes, I can look and search. I know this one person who finds volumes in their garage, 10,000 volumes at a time. They just appear. So, I know that God, I remember when we were with the Archbishop and somebody said, where can we find these volumes? And the postulator started laughing. And he says, just look, you'll find them. And they go, where can we get them? Where can we get them? He says, just look, you'll find them. And it was hilarious because here everybody's upset. They're not my books, they're your books, whose book? And he laughs. He said, and then the Archbishop said, even those that read, some of the volumes, everyone is touched by these writings, whether they're 100% correct or not. There's most of them, most of them are not the best translations, unfortunately. But there are some good translations out there. And if you really look, you'll find them. That's just, God gives you what you want. That's just really hilarious. God is so, God has so much fun. Okay, volume 16, October 16, 1923. My daughter Louisa, in order for the most holy divine will to descend upon earth, it is necessary that your human will raise up to heaven. Okay, so this is for us. You want the divine will? Okay, your human will has to rise up to heaven. Okay, how do you do this? Okay, in order to raise up to heaven and to live in the celestial fatherland, it is necessary to empty it of all that is human. That's why I said you have to start giving up things. What you love on this earth, you have to give up. Now, that doesn't mean your spouse, but it means that you have to. If you love chocolate, you give it up. If you love nectarines, you give it up. If you love football, you give it up. I mean, it's to give up the things of earth. See, you can't have a love of earth. Well, I just really love. Well, I'm sorry, got to give it up. And now again, that might be very painful and very difficult. But the more that you give up, as he says, the more you empty yourself of all that is human. This is what it means to raise up to heaven, to live in the celestial fatherland. So, what do you love? I mean, what do you love? And that's what you give up. Again, that's not your spouse, but what else do you love that is of this earth? Now, for each person, it's something different. And that means that the more that you surrender, the happier you're going to be. You know, it's the hypnotic eye of death has to leave our lives for, you know, because like we read earlier, television to no one. That's one of the things. If you can get rid of your TV, that would be good. And that doesn't mean, I said that to somebody and they literally threw their TV out. But the family was healed. The television is it's filled with everything that will draw you away from Jesus. Everything. And that's sports. You're praising these people who are honoring pigskin. You're praising people who spend all their time, you know, playing a sport. I mean, that's just sports. I mean, there's other things too. If you can get rid of that, and especially keep holy the Sabbath, again, I want to please God on the Sabbath, not to watch sports, not to play sports, not to make that a day of the second day of the weekend. You know, we really have to begin to get away from that and really become Catholic, you know, to really make holy the Lord's Day. Again, that's what's going to be really necessary. So he says, it is necessary to empty all that is human of all that is not holy, all that is not pure, and all that is not upright. Well, that's television right there. That's one of the things the Lord wants to free us from. I used to, my addiction was the news. I was really good at the news. I knew everything that was happening. And then after this last election, I said, they lied. And they all lied. The heck with the news. It's not the good news anyways. God, and just that's it. I don't want the news. I do not want to watch the news. I don't want to look at the news. I mean, every time and then I'll glance at some, but it's not my life. It's not what I want. So again, he says very clearly, nothing can enter into heaven to live in a communal life with us, Triune God, if it has not been completely divinized and transformed into us. Again, that eliminates TV. That's just that. Again, this is just one. I'm just talking about one thing. Nor can my most holy divine will descend upon earth to carry out its life within its own center, if it does not find the human will emptied of everything in order to fill it with all the divine goods which my most holy divine will contains. So again, our Lord is saying, I want to give you this gift, but you're going to have to cooperate with me. What are you going to give up? I'm going to give you this. What are you going to give up? What's your passion? Is it cookies? Is it chocolate? You know, is it pasta? What is your passion? And it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this up. And again, this is, like he says, I want to divinize everything. See, so he's going to give us this. What are we going to give him? Again, it's very, very important. It will be nothing other than the most thin veil which will serve me, Jesus, in order to cover myself and to dwell within it, almost like a consecrated host in which I, Jesus, will form my divine life, and I, Jesus, will do all the good I, Jesus, want. I, Jesus, pray. I, Jesus, suffer. I, Jesus, enjoy. And the host does not oppose me. The host leaves me free. Its office is to be there to keep me hidden in a mute silence to completely preserve my sacramental life. So he says you have to become like the host, to be passive, to let God reign. Okay, so what are your passions? What do you want? What do you love? What do you desire? What do you look for? Where do you spend your time? What is it? He says, give it up. Now, there's not much time, you know, for any of us, really. We've lived, I think everybody in this room just about lived half our life, even more. Okay, the second half could go very quickly. Jesus says to Louisa, you have to live as if this is your last day. This is how you have to live. If your last day is filled with earthly passions, don't expect to go to heaven. Maybe expect to spend a long time in purgatory. But what God is asking is he's asking us to let him reign in us. So most of our lives, I mean, I always find it funny that somebody who's like, you know, 80s and 90s are surprised when they die. You know, Scripture says, you might last to be 70, 80 if you're strong. You know, I remember my spiritual director said to me, when he turned 50, I said, Francesco, what are you going to do? He says, I prepare to die. I went, what the heck's wrong with you? You're only 50. He says, I have to get ready. Now here's a holy man, a good man, a saintly man, who basically, when he turned 50, he says, I've got to get ready. I've got to be ready to see Jesus at any moment. And that has to be our life. So again, it's very, very clear what God is asking. He says very clearly, the host does not oppose me. The host leaves me free. Its office is to be there to keep me hidden in the mute silence, to comply and preserve my sacramental life. This is the point we are at. And this is with Louisa and now with us. Your human will is about to enter heaven, and mine is about to descend upon earth. Therefore, your human will must have life no longer. It must have no reason to exist. Now, either we take that seriously or we don't. Like I said before, you know, in that twinkling of an eye, whenever that happens, and it's going to happen, at that point, there's no more time. And that's where we stay eternally. I want the highest place in heaven. I want to be so close to God and Blessed Mother that what I have to do is I have to die to my ego and my will completely. I have to fight myself continuously. Like hearing the voices of Jesus speaking to Louisa, and with the passion, the zeal of Saint Joan of Arc, we have to listen, obey, and obey. Again, and then die. I mean, one of the things my mom taught me was we're here to die well. You know, we're here to die well. We're all going to die. How are you going to die? Is it to die well? Is it to die for the glory of God? We have to get ready. Because tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow might not be here. So we might see Jesus today. Are you ready to see Jesus today? What have you given up? What have you surrendered? What are you still hanging on to that is not God's? And he says it very clearly. Your human will is about to enter heaven. My holy divine will is about to descend to earth. Therefore, your human will can no longer have life. There's no reason for it to exist. Now, that to me is very powerful, but there's got to be a response from us. How do we do this? Okay, and again, the way we do this is through Louisa. Okay, volume 16, February 10th, 1924. Do you, Louisa, see how necessary it is to make them understand that complete abandonment is needed in order to live in my most holy divine will? Complete abandonment. And you, Louisa, say it is not necessary to write about this? I, Jesus, feel compassion for you, Louisa, because you, Louisa, do not see what I, Jesus, see. And that's why you, Louisa, take this lightly. Instead, in my all-seeingness, I, Jesus, see that these writings will be for my church as a new sun, S-U-N, which will rise in the church's midst, and men attracted by its radiant light will strive to transform themselves into this light to become spiritualized and divinized. See, that's what's going to happen. Right now, this is what's happening in the Vatican. They are reading this, and the sun is rising, and they're attracted by this radiant light, and they want to transform themselves into this light to become spiritualized and divinized. Therefore, renewing the Holy Catholic Church, they will transform the face of the earth. That's where we are. We're right there. Jesus says, I see this coming. It's happening now. The doctrine of my most holy divine will is the purest, the most beautiful, not subject to any shadow of material or of interest, neither in the supernatural nor in the natural order. Therefore, just like the sun, S-U-N in the sky, it will be the most penetrated, the most fecund, the most welcome and appreciated. And being divine light, it will make itself be understood and will make its own way. So who's going to teach everyone? It's God. As you read this, Jesus said, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind and your heart. You will know this and you will love it. God is going to do this. It will not be subject to doubt or suspicions of error. And even if some words will not be understood, it will be because of too much divine light, which eclipsing the human intellect will not allow them to understand the whole fullness of the truth. However, they will not find one word which is not true. At the most, they will not be able to comprehend it fully. Now, that's what's happening right now. Again, this is the third time they're reading it in the Vatican. They're going, wait a minute, I don't understand this. And why? There's too much light. It's eclipsing their human intellect. And that's what's going on. These are brilliant men. And they're looking at this going, what the heck is this about? Jesus says, they will not find one word which is not true. And that's the other thing, too. They said, okay, let's read it again. It's how wonderful this is. And can you imagine, we are living at that time that Jesus is talking about. Again, it's going to divinize, spiritually divinize and renew the church. See, can you imagine every priest, every bishop, every deacon talking about divine life? Not talking about their vacations. Not talking about their dogs. But talking about divine life. And how this divine life is going to transform the face. You first, and then the world. Heaven on earth. I mean, that's what Jesus has planned. In volume 10, he says that to Louisa, how the priesthood is going to change. Therefore, in view of the good which I, Jesus, see, I, Jesus, push you, Louisa, to neglect nothing in these writings. One saying, one effect, one simile on my most holy divine will can be like a beneficial dew upon the souls, just as the dew is beneficial on the plants after a day of burning sun, or like a pouring rain after a long months of drought. You, Louisa, cannot understand all the good, the light, the strength contained in one word, but your Jesus knows it, and knows the ones to whom it will serve, and the good that it will do. See, I'll tell you honestly, these words are so spectacular. Everybody I've talked to about this, something is more beautiful to them than the next person. Now, why? It's like a crystal. Each chip on the crystal, a multifaceted crystal, shines a light in a different direction. The same sun comes on that diamond, that crystal, yet the light when you go around it is different. It's the same thing for a soul. These words of Jesus for us are unique. No one else can understand the way we can. And so as you read this, you're going to see things that are going to fill you with such joy. And you'll try to explain it to somebody, and they'll go, yeah, I understand, but I like this. You know, that's God. He's made us so unique, and so the individual souls are so beautiful that every soul together forms a beautiful crystal. As it turns, it's more beautiful, more spectacular than what you could ever imagine. That's what our God is doing. And he knows, like he says, I know the ones to whom it will serve and the good it will do for them. Now, as he was saying this, he showed me a table in the midst of the church, and all the writings of the divine will were placed on it. And many venerable people surrounded that table, and they were transformed into light and divinized. That's what's happening in the Vatican right now. That's what's happening right now. And as they walked, see, they're not talking. As they walked, they communicated that light to whomever they encountered. It's just going to radiate from you, transforming people. See, this is divine. It's not human. Human, you would have to walk and talk. Here is as they walked, this light communicated to whomever they encountered. And Jesus says, you, Louisa, will see this great good from heaven when the church will receive the celestial food, which will strengthen her and make her rise again to her full triumph. And that's what we're praying for. The church is at a point that it needs to be renewed. It needs to be repaired. And even the Pope talked about this. He talked about it in 69, and he talked about it in 78. He says the church is going to shrink. And one of the quotes he said is to about 3%. Okay? And those that are in the church, that 3%, the church will be completely transformed and renewed. Those are the Pope's words. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now. Our job is to be part of that 3%. And that's what the divine will is. If it's 3% in the divine will, that's a lot. It's again, there's what is that, a billion Catholics? And what I think is probably 1,000 to 5,000 reading the divine will. That's way less than even a 0.0001%. God's going to use us to transform the face of the earth. This is why Jesus calls this the mission of missions, the apostolate of apostolates. Again, and nobody knows we're doing it. We're in our homes, we're reading, transforming the face of the earth. Because God is doing it. We're just cooperating with God. We're allowing God to use us. We become God's skin. So that He reigns in us. This is glorious. I just thank God for this gift. And I think what we have to do is really begin to get rid of everything that is not divine and begin to live this life abundantly, as Jesus says. So we're going to stop there. And the tapes, what I'll do is probably make two more tapes, maybe one more tape, maybe two more tapes. I think it'll be two more tapes, maybe one. Sorry we didn't get through it, but I'd love to talk. I got to give that up, you know. All right, so we'll end with a prayer. We'll all kneel if we can and pray the prayer of consecration to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and will form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the Divine Will. You will be my guide, my tender Mother. You will guard your child and will teach me to live and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the Divine Will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the Divine Will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be attentive and listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me, so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall through the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial court, come to my help, and I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.